This evening, I am reminded by the chairman that I have only 10 minutes, if not more than 15 minutes to speak. But I want to submit to you that this text before us, verse 14 of John chapter 1, cannot be covered in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It is a verse that is far too wide to fully comprehend and to fully understand. It is truly beyond us. John 1:14 reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the time past, one of those they call it the Platonic philosophers who consider all Christian writers to be but barbarians. Nevertheless, they have this to say of this verse. This is what one of those philosophers said. These barbarians, meaning to say referring to the Christian writers, had comprised more stupendous stuff in three lines, that is referring to verse 14, than we have done in all our voluminous discourses. And we will to this day glory in the power of the Holy Spirit, that an unlearned and ignorant man like John, the writer of the book of John, the son of Zebedee, the fisherman, should be enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit under divine illumination to write such a chapter, to give us this verse in verse 14, which excel not only the highest flight of eloquence, but the greatest divinings of philosophy. So that is why I say 10 minutes, or even half an hour, or even 1 hour, is not sufficient for us to fully appreciate the significance and the power of this verse. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In time past, in the Old Testament, for the Jewish people, do you know what is their greatest pride? Their greatest pride, or their greatest glory, was that God tabernacled in their midst. Not the tents of Moses, not the various pavilions of the princes of the 12 tribes, but the humble tabernacle in which God dwelt. That was the boast of Israel. That was their pride. They had the king. They had God Himself in their midst, in the midst of them, a present God in their midst. The tabernacle was not the tent to which men went when they could commune, the tabernacle was a tent to which men went when they commune, or when they would commune with God. It was the spot to which God came manifestly when the people of Israel would commune with God. To borrow the words of Matthew Henry, he says this: it was the trysting place, meaning to say the secret place. This is the secret place where the Jew meet with God, meet between them and their Creator, meet between them, the worshipper and God can come together at that meeting place. Here in the tabernacle, they met each other through the slaughter of the bullock and the lamb, and there was reconciliation between the two of them, between the children of Israel and God. But right now, I want to turn our attention to ourselves. For us, but for us the believers, Christ's human flesh was God's tabernacle. And it is in Christ that God meets with man, that God meets with you and me. And it is in Christ that man had dealings with God. The Jews of old went to God's tent or the tabernacle in the center of the camp. If he would worship God, he would, for us, we come to Christ if we are to pay homage to our God. If the Jews would be released from the ceremonial uncleanness after he had performed all the ceremonial sacrifices, he went up to the sanctuary of his God that he might feel again that there was peace between God and his soul. And we, for us, we having been washed in the precious blood of Christ, have this access with boldness before the throne of grace unto God. Even the God, the Father through Christ, who is our tabernacle. Christ is our tabernacle. And the tabernacle of God, as we see in this verse, the tabernacle of God is among men. And that is what this verse is telling us. What a glorious privilege you and I that we have over the Jewish people. We have right now God in the flesh and dwelt among us. Among us sinful men and sinful women. It is simply too wonderful to comprehend fully. Too vast, too deep a subject for us to fully grasp and understand. Now let us draw a parallel a little further. You know, the greatest glory of the tabernacle itself for the Jewish people is what? Is where the most holy place is, which they call the Holy of Holies. That is the greatest glory of the tabernacle. In the most holy place, there stood the Ark of the Covenant, bearing its golden leaf, which we have studied during our previous studies at the evening sermon, which is called the mercy seat. Over the mercy seat stood the cherubim, whose wings met each other, and beneath the wings of the cherubim there was this bright light. This bright light is known to the Jewish or the Hebrews believer by the name of, they call it the Shekinah glory, the glory of God. The Shekinah glory. You and I will not be able to fully appreciate that. What does that mean? But for the Jew, when the priests come before the throne in the Holy of Holies, there only the priest can enter. That light represented the presence of God. Immediately above that light, there might be seen at night a pillar of fire, as it were. And by day, a spiral column of cloud rose from it, which no doubt expanded itself into the vast cloud, which covered the whole camp where the children of Israel dwell. And they were all shielded by this cloud. The Israelites are under this protection of the cloud. And of course, it refers to the presence of God. The glory of the tabernacle, I say, was the Shekinah glory. But what does the verse here in verse 14 tell us? Please look at the verse again. The verse tells us this. Jesus Christ was God's tabernacle. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is not the tabernacle without the glory. He is not as the temple when the voice was heard with the rushing of winds before the siege of Jerusalem, crying out, "Arise, let us go hence." But it was the temple in which God dwelt, himself dwelt after a very special manner. For in him, that is, for in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is what this verse is trying to tell us. It is far more than we can fully comprehend. The apostle John here, however, points out to us something else. A far surpassing excellence in Christ, the tabernacle, by which he wondrously excelled that of the Jewish church, that of the Jewish tabernacle. The Jewish tabernacle cannot be compared to right now this tabernacle. Christ is the tabernacle. There is no comparison at all. We are told, full of grace and truth. That is Christ. Full of grace and truth. Do you know that the Jewish tabernacle was rather not full of grace and truth,
For the Jews, the Jewish tabernacle was rather full of what? Full of law than full of grace. There was all the ceremonial laws that they have to meet. There is this requirement for them. Everyone who wants to come into the presence of God through the priest, they have to meet all the ceremonial laws. It is true. There were in its rites and ceremonies, in all that the practices of the Jewish nation, there is this foreshadowing of grace. But still, it is repeated in the repeated sacrifice. There was this renewed remembrance of sin. And a man has first to be obedient to the law of the ceremonies before he could have access to the tabernacle at all. But for those of us who are in Christ, we have far better and superior privilege than the Jews. What do we have? We have Christ who is full of grace, not full of law. He fulfilled the law for us, but in Christ is full of grace. Not a little of it, but abundance of it. And he treasured it up all for you and me. The tabernacle was of old was not full of truth, but full of image, full of shadow, full of symbol, and full of the picture. But Christ is full of substance. Christ is everything. He is not the picture, but Christ is the reality. The reality in the life of a believer. He is not the shadow, but the substance. For the Jew, it was only a shadow, a symbol. They are not, in that sense, blessed to see of the Savior. But those of us who are in the New Testament age, those of us who have Christ, we right now see with a spiritual eyes that Christ is full of grace and truth. Brethren, we rejoice, or rather we can rejoice with joy unspeakable. For we come unto Christ, the real tabernacle of God. Not that we see God, but God comes to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus. We come unto Him who is full of glory, glory of the Father. We come unto one in whom we have not the representation of grace which we need, but we come unto one who is full of grace. He is grace itself. Christ is grace itself. Not the shadow of a truth ultimately to be revealed, but He is the truth. And you and I who are in the Lord, we have received that. We have seen that. We have tasted that. That Christ is full of grace and truth. We did not see a shadow of it like the Jews of old, but we see truly as He is, by faith. Now I just want to very briefly bring up one point. You can call this a one-point sermon for this evening for the first time. I know that some of you, because of the heavy lunch, you are dozing off. But here I want to bring up to you one very important thing, beside the many other things that I could say from this verse. Firstly, we are told here, we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. Who are these people? Who are the we here that the apostles are referring to? May I suggest that it is in reference to all those who are elected of God. These are the we the apostle John is talking about. It is the elect company. For Jesus said, I know whom I have chosen. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but they who did receive Christ, they who did receive the Lord Jesus, are described as men and women who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they are elect company born of God. We are the favored people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who are in the Lord, you are the favored people here. You are the we here. and you have beheld his glory. By faith you have beheld his glory. Yes, we have only a glimpse of it, but by the grace and mercy of the Lord and by faith, the eye of faith, we have beheld the glory. The elect in Christ's day, during those days, they were but a small company. Nevertheless, they did exist at that time. And they were the 12 and 70s. And afterward, we read of many who came to know the Lord Jesus, the 3,000, and then many others who were added to the church as of such as should be saved. In Jesus' day, however, the lines of manifest election seems to be but be very narrow. But there were but few that followed him. And those who followed him, it is said, from many from that day, those who did at that day followed the Lord Jesus, they are only professors. Because at the end, when Christ was fully revealed to them, they could not see the glory of Christ. And they walked no more with him. For his truth, the truth of the Lord Jesus, have shifted, or rather sifted, the mere professors and reduced them but to a very, very small company. Then the we here, we who beheld Christ's glory, we are the chosen company. We are the elect of God. I just want to impress upon us, those of us who are in Christ, as we celebrate this Christmas, remember, you are the favored people. God did not favor others to beheld his glory, to receive his grace, but you have. You are such blessed and privileged people, and I am one of them. We thank God. And I trust that all of us here can truly say that we are the favored people, we are the we here that the Apostle Paul is referring to. If you are not, you will not be able to appreciate what the Apostle John is telling us here in this text. We beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are so blessed. You are the chosen people, and God chose you out of the millions to reveal to you his grace and his truth. Those who beheld his glory were also an illumined people. Yes, you and I are all illuminated by the Spirit of God. You and I were once upon a time in darkness. We do not understand the things of God. We do not understand what the Bible is talking about. We do not understand what is grace, what is truth, what is forgiveness, what is to be saved. We do not understand all that. But now you and I, those of us who are in Christ, you are the illuminated people. You came to see the light. You right now understand and appreciate more and more of the glory of God, of the grace and mercy of God. None of those in the world, none of those, even the princes of the world, knew him, knew Christ. They do not know Christ. The priests, all these Sanhedrins and the Pharisees, they studied the law. They studied the word of God, that is the law of God, far more deeper than you and I do. But yet, they could not behold the glory of God. They could not see the glory of Christ. They cannot behold the grace and truth in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you and I, we can. Because God, by his Holy Spirit, has illuminated you and me. Those in the past, even those who saw that star in the east, those who saw the miraculous act of our Lord Jesus, the blind generation of Jesus' time could not perceive him. In vain the opening of blind eyes, when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind and the preaching of the gospel to the poor, all these were in vain. They could not see. In vain are all those innumerable signs and wonders that the Lord Jesus performed. Yet they could not see. Yet they could not perceive his glory. But those of us who did perceive, it may be said of us, just like Jesus said of Simon Bar-Jonas. This is what Jesus said of Simon Bar-Jonas. And this is what Jesus said of those of us who are in Christ. What did Jesus say? Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee. It is by the mighty Spirit of God that you and I are not only chosen people, are not only favored of God, you are also illuminated by God. Do you see right now, brothers and sisters in Christ, how blessed you are, how privileged and honored you are? Have you ever considered why out of so many in the world, out of so many of your colleagues, your classmates, out of so many in your family, you and you alone came to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Why is it that you can behold the glory of God? Why is it you and only you could understand what it means to be saved, to realize what is grace, to appreciate what is grace, and to be saved by grace? Oh, brothers and sisters, do you see that? We may say then that those who beheld His glory, as I said before, we are the favored people. We are chosen out of the sovereign grace of God. And it is what we call in theological language the effectual calling by the Holy Spirit. We are the anointed people, anointed with illumination, that we can see and behold the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Those of us who believe, we ought to ask ourselves this question. And those of us who have not believed, those of us who are still seeking, are you able to perceive the glory of the Son of God? Those of us who are Christians, let us ask ourselves, have I seen something of the splendor of God? Have I learned to magnify Him in my soul? Have I desired to glorify Him in my life as my God, my life, my love, and my all in all? If so, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we can truly say this from our hearts, that yes, indeed, I have learned more and more to magnify God in my life, in my soul, in my love, we are indeed favored of God. And surely He has favored us so specially, because not because of what good we have, but by His grace and mercy. This evening, I just want to bring out this to us as we commemorate the coming of our Savior. And let us not forget that He is coming again, the second time. This time, no longer as in a lowly manger, but coming as a judge, as a king, as the sovereign ruler who will rule over all. And He will bring justice to an eternal peace to the new heaven and the new earth. And so therefore we ought to ask ourselves, again I appeal to those who are still seeking, those who have been listening to the gospel for so many times, what is your response? Are you able to behold the glory, His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father? Do you know this Christ, this Savior of the world, who is full of grace and full of truth? The Jews are not as privileged as you and I are. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us come before the Lord in worship and bow down and humble ourselves before Him and give Him all our worship, who is worthy of all worship. And let us remember, by His help, let us seek Him to help us to glorify Him in the remaining days of our lives here. Shall we pray? Our mighty God, eternal loving Father, we thank Thee that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. O Father in heaven, we thank Thee that You have sent this light
to shine into our dark hearts, and thou hast worked in us that mighty work of awakening, of effectual calling. And right now, Lord, by thy grace and mercy, and through the eye of faith, we are able to behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. O Father, we pray that you will help us, thy people, to move forward from this day on to glorify you, to manifest forth the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. For those who are still outside your kingdom, who are still seeking, we ask that you be gracious and merciful to reveal that light to them, that they too may come to behold the glory of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. In his name we pray. Amen.